Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Firm Podcast on the Radio St. Pete Network. I'm your host, Michael Duggar. Joining me late Wednesday night is Noah Heemer. Noah, how are things shaping up in the great state capital of Tallahassee, Florida?
You know, it's been a long day, but always got to make time for the podcast. Was up at 5:40 this morning, and I'll be up tomorrow at 5, but nothing like the grind, man. Nothing like the grind. So, living and loving it.
Not at all. Not at all. Grind's great. I mean, I wish I wake up at 7 every day, so I guess that's all right. But yeah, I'm usually up. Well, I've dove into the gambling aspect of life a little bit in sports. So, I mean, I was up till 1:30 last night on watching Nevada not cover against BYU on the CBS Sports Network till 1:30. So, that was entertaining. Not really. It was entertaining. But it was really heartbreaking with to lose that parlay in the last. But I'm sure we'll develop some gambling segments later on in this podcast that develops. And as our gambling, as our gambling interests continue to rise, as we should say. But we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk a little bit about that. We're going to pretty much break down the NFC playoff picture and NFL, AFC, NFC. And as we go through it, we're going to talk about the teams because each team has played at least 8 games. So we have 8 or 9 games of data, of tape, of trends, tendencies, everything that we want to make a strong evaluation of these teams. And we've been wrong on some. Our midseason predictions have changed a little bit, and we've been wrong. But I looked back at our original preseason predictions of divisions, and we're only, I think we've missed like 2 so far. 2 or 3. I think we're 2 or 3 off right now. So in that case, we did pretty well. Wild cards are doing pretty well as well. So we're just going to look at the playoff picture as a whole and not necessarily predict, getting the business of predicting teams and stuff like that and where they're going to finish, but just how it looks right now and maybe who is separating themselves from the pack. So we'll start on the do you want to start AFC or NFC? Because
yeah,
you want to go AFC? Okay, yeah, AFC's a lot more competitive, especially with what we thought. So, the Chiefs are up top, 8-1. Patriots are 7-2. Steelers, to our chagrin, are 5-2-1. Texans 6-3 after a 6-game winning streak. Chargers hold on the first wild card spot, 6-2. Bengals slight lead over the Dolphins at 5-3 at the second wild card spot. Then it goes Dolphins are 5-4, Titans 4-4, Ravens 4-5, Jags, Colts 3-5, and then I think the Jets, Broncos, Browns, and Bills or Raiders are safely out of the playoff picture. So, do you see, just very quick, we don't have to talk deeply about these teams, Chiefs and Patriots are pretty much locked for the top two to get the first round bye, correct?
Yeah, I don't really think anyone's going to compete with them. I think the only team that really has a shot are the Chargers potentially taking the seed from the Chiefs. It's the only team that I see that can take that top seed, in my opinion. But I don't see that really happening. That's the only team I see as threatening either of those teams for the 1 or 2 seed.
Well, let's talk about the Chargers then. They're only this is another hour one, so we don't have a lot to do, but looking at their schedule, I'm going to read you the next 3 games. At Oakland, host Denver, host Arizona. Should be 3 wins at 9-2. And the rest of their schedule is at Steelers, host Bengals, at Chiefs, Ravens, at Broncos. So it kind of gets tough in the last 5, but they're very easily could push 9-2, which will most likely clinch their playoff appearance, the wild card. And the Chiefs have that Rams game looming. And if they have 2 losses and heading to that That's on a short week, actually, too. Oh, great. NFL scheduled that Kansas City game on a Thursday night. So, short week, that could be... These division races are actually pretty exciting. Like, everyone... Like, you also... Like, I wasn't even thinking about the Chargers because the Chiefs have been so dominant and have dominated all the headlines and have Pat Mahomes and this explosive offense that you don't even... That it's tough to remember that the Chargers gave away that week one game against these two teams.
Mm-hmm.
So...
One of the things about the Chargers for me is that... Or about the Chiefs, I should correct myself. The Chiefs is the Andy... Or the Andy Reid... late season fall off. Every year we see the Andy Reid team. We saw it last year with Alex Smith. Well, how did the Chiefs start last year's season? Go into Foxborough and Kareem Hunt had himself a coming out party. And they rolled through their first 9-10 games. And then they lose in the first round at home against the Titans. That stuff with Andy Reid just lingers with me because it makes me unsure of how much this team can keep rolling, especially because their defense hasn't really gotten any much better. It's just that their offense is legitimately, honestly, it seems unstoppable at times. Legitimately seems unstoppable because you got Tyreek Hill stretching the field with his speed and crossing routes that you got to worry about both. Travis Kelce is practically their number one receiver. And then Sammy Watkins is the perfect complement number two because he doesn't get the number one attention because they're always worried about Tyreek. They're always going to be worried about Travis Kelce. So he gets a lot more one-on-one opportunities that allow that to be open up. And then you get that going. You get Kareem Hunt going. So their offense seems like it's never going to stop. But defensively speaking, I don't know who they're going to stop. And I don't know. And the Chargers could honestly have the formula to beat the Chiefs because of the way that Phillip Rivers could control the ball and keep Pat Mahomes off the field. Control the ball game with your two-headed monster, Austin Eckler and Melvin Gordon. Keep Mahomes off the field, like I said. You have a plethora of weapons from Keenan Allen, Tyrell Williams, Mike Williams. I'm pretty sure Hunter, the tight end Hunter Henry.
Yeah, there's a report he may be coming back.
Exactly. So even... The speculation of him coming back, maybe not even if it's not this week, soon, by the end of the season at all, is big in and of itself just because that's just another weapon for Phillip Rivers to start utilizing, and it's just going to keep progressing this offense. And I see the Chargers offense continuing to get better and better, but I don't know if the Chiefs offense can, like, obviously it can always get better and better, but can it keep going up? And that's the question. And what makes me, it's not the talent or anything in that makes me doubt it. It's just Andy Reid. Not that I'm doubting Andy Reid because he's a great offensive mastermind, but too frequently his teams fall off at the end of the season. He never got over the hump after all those years in Philadelphia, made Super Bowls, never won them, made NFC championships, couldn't always figure it out in those games as well. And those teams were nuts. They had Donovan McNabb, they had Westbrook carrying the ball, who was like the OG PPR running back. So that's why the Chargers jump out to me, especially because they're probably going to win their next three games, and they're going to be sitting at 9-2. If they can, between the Steelers, Bengals, Chiefs, and Ravens, if they can somehow go two and two. And the Chiefs are one of those wins, that's fantastic. If they go 3-1 and they only lose to the Chiefs, that's also okay. But they cannot go 2-2 and lose to the Chiefs within those four games and still try to win the division. I think the Chargers are obviously going to make the playoffs because they're going to be 9-2 they should be 9-2. I think the team that scares me the most, honestly, might be the Cardinals.
That'd be nuts.
In terms of trap game wise.
I didn't want to cut you off in the middle of your thing, but Sammy Watkins is dealing with his foot issue again.
Oh, again?
Yeah. Let me look it up, just double check. Yeah, he could miss the game this weekend, and he has a foot injury.
And once Sammy Watkins goes down, he hasn't not been fortunate in terms of being able to get back on the field once he gets hurt, and he's tried to push it. He played for Buffalo. Having him on my fantasy team was always so frustrating sometimes because I'd watch him and he'd ball out, but then he'd try to push it, and you'd see that obviously his foot's not there, but the team needed him so badly. And so I hope he gets the proper rest because the offense isn't necessarily predicated around him entirely.
He's not needed this week against Arizona either, so I think...
Nah.
So I think that he will be... I think he'll be rested this week, but foot injuries can linger. This is just going to be a fascinating race because the Chiefs are going to be heavy favorites in every game they have the rest of the season except the Rams, which is just a great Monday night game next week. So... That's the AFC. Okay, one more thing. Yeah.
But to add to the Chiefs schedule, just to throw this out there, they play against the Cardinals, at the Rams, at the Raiders, home against the Ravens, home against the Chargers, and then at Seahawks, and close out the year home against the Raiders. The Ravens match up extremely well with this Chiefs team. If there's one, I keep jumping on this Ravens bandwagon, but if there's one team that could potentially just be like that, that shakes up the playoff race for the Chiefs and allows the Chargers to jump ahead of them, they have to hope that the Ravens or the Seahawks can also beat the Chiefs within those three games because they play the Ravens, Chargers, Seahawks, and the Seahawks are on the road, which is what makes it such a scary game for the Chiefs because anytime you're playing in Seattle, it's going to be tough. So if the Chiefs lose to the Ravens, I really, really, really would not be surprised if the Chargers could end up getting a top two seed out of the AFC.
I feel like that the home field matters more for the Chiefs than the Chargers because the Chargers' home field is really not that – I don't want to say it's non-existent, but it's kind of pathetic. And playing in Arrowhead, even though the Titans went in there and won last year, is still just such a tough place to be. But a good transition to we're talking about the Ravens is to the Steelers and the AFC North because this division's been tight all year. The Steelers were in last place for like a week or two. And now they have a half-game lead on the Bengals. The Bengals are AJ Green could miss multiple weeks with a toe injury, and you add that to the laundry list of injuries they have from Price, Bernard, Eifert. This offense has been so potent when they're healthy and stuff like that, and now that just another player gets hurt, especially AJ Green, the guy I value as a top five receiver. So, and the Ravens have fallen off. They're 4-5. They've lost 3 in a row, I think. Is this, you called them buried and dead in week 3.
I know the Steelers did this exact same thing last year. Because I remember in my fantasy league, someone dropped Big Ben after like that 4-5 game tough stretch. He threw like, 5 picks against the Jags at home, and everyone was off the Steelers. And then I looked at the rest of the Steelers' schedule, fantasy-wise, and I was like, yeah, sign me up for Big Ben. Look at all those easy games he has at home. And then he ended up finishing the year as a top 5 fantasy quarterback. And so I'm curious, is that same thing going to happen? But I'm looking at this schedule, and there are a lot of teams on this schedule that we like a lot.
Oh, yeah.
At least I like a lot more than the Steelers. Their remaining schedule is home against the Panthers.
Thursday night.
On the road against Jacksonville. On the road against the Broncos. Home against the Chargers. On the road against the Raiders. Home against the Patriots. On the road against the Saints. And then home against the Bengals to finish out the year. The Raiders, and honestly, the Raiders and the Broncos are the only two games that I see them as definitely winning those two games. even the Jags game, because it's on the road, Big Ben doesn't play there, and that the Jags are going to rekindle themselves, I think. I hate to say it, but...
we'll talk about the AFC South, because it's just... I don't know what the thing... I don't know the thing about that division.
It's a mess.
But yeah, I was looking at the schedule while you were talking, and I'm just like...
That's brutal.
It is. And even the Denver game's tough, because Denver plays really great at home. They just can't win a game. It's frustrating to watch them, watch Vance Joseph coach them out. They're a team that next year, if they retain Keenum or not, and they get a good coach in, they're going to be, like, AFC West instantly becomes a legit three-team race. Because they have a lot of talent, and they've been in every single game. Let me just look at the... I don't want to go on a side tangent about the Denver Broncos when we're trying to talk about playoff picture and stuff. But, I mean, where is it? I don't look Steelers Broncos. I want to look at the Broncos schedule.
All right, got
come
it.
Come
right
on, ESPN.
Here. Broncos.
Yeah.
Broncos got the, at Chargers.
No, I just want to talk about, like, what their season, like, their wins and losses. So they beat the Seahawks by three, beat the Raiders by three, lost to Baltimore in Baltimore by 13, lost to the Chiefs by four. The game against the Jets was just a short week, travel cross country. Lost to the Rams by three, blow out the Cardinals, lose to the Chiefs by seven, and then lose to the Texans by two. Like, one game has been, two games have been blowouts per se. And they've been competing against, twice against the best team in the NFL by record, the Chiefs, and then lost to three by the other best, second or third best team in the Rams. So this team's talented. And that's not a walkover for Pittsburgh. So I wouldn't be this confident about Pittsburgh if Cincinnati did not lose AJ Green and everyone. But looking at this, looking at the Ravens schedule, who are going to struggle to get to nine wins, I just don't see a path forward for any team but the Steelers, unless Andy Dalton continues to play out of his mind.
Yeah, I got to bring something up. Matthew Stafford, in my mind, is much better than Andy Dalton in terms of arm talent and just what the types of throws he can make. But do you think we might be able to see what happened with Detroit when Calvin Johnson retired and how creative that offense had to get? We might see something similar with the Bengals, because I remember we were complaining about when you picked the Bengals to beat the Chiefs in primetime, and they made a fool out of you. And I remember you said they just kept force feeding AJ Green. Now John Ross is back healthy. Tyler Boyd's come into his own, so he's going to assume that number one spot. You got a receiver who, they got Auden Tate, just got promoted from the practice squad.
Who's a stud.
Who is a big, like, I mean, when I mean big, I mean, like, literally just a big dude playing receiver, stud. You throw, like, John Ross gives you the speed element of what AJ Green does. Tyler Boyd gives you the possession of what AJ Green does. And Auden Tate gives you the height and the jump ball ability of what AJ Green does. Do you think we might be able to, and they have a run game this year.
That's what I was going to say. The only way they do it is if Joe Mixon gets 25 touches a game. But.
And then their offense has to play smartly with how they distribute the ball.
Here's the thing. Their schedule is tough. Host the Saints at Baltimore. Host Cleveland. Host Denver. At the Chargers. Raiders. At Cleveland. At Pittsburgh. 10 wins is going to win you this division at the very most. 9-10 wins will win you this division. Who is going to get there? I don't know. Because do you think they're... We're doing our prediction pod tomorrow. Do you think they're going to beat the Saints in Cincinnati? It's a perfect letdown game for the Saints, for being honest. Perfect scenario to go to Cincinnati after that giant win. But... I mean, the thing I always look at, weather. What's the Cincinnati weather, especially with the Drew Brees game?
I just don't think Cincinnati can even get close to containing the two-headed monster running back.
Yeah, that's the thing. So, by default in the NFC North, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yep, you have to. You just got to take the reigning champ until someone knocks him off. And I hate that I'm saying that because this, one of my friends, Thomas, who I work football with. He's a huge Steelers fan. I've been telling him all year, no, dude, Steelers suck. They're falling off. It's not. It ain't gonna happen. But I hate that I'm at the point where I'm like, I kind of gotta ride with the Steelers for now until the Bengals show me something. Because Bengals are who I picked to win this division preseason.
I picked Baltimore.
If this run game can keep going, I like their chances. If they can get Andy Dalton into good situation, optimal, not good, optimal situations, high probability situations, not third and long situations, I like what he can do with this. Because he was a gunslinger at TCU. They throw the ball all over God's creation there.
God's great. God's so, greater down in Tejas.
Yes, down in Tejas.
By the way, quick shout out to TCU for having my favorite uniforms in sports. When they go purple, or white helmet, purple tops, white pants, I'm just.
It is such a slick
ever
look.
Since it's just ingrained in my childhood watching LaDainian Tomlinson running that Horned Frog uniform, and I've just loved it ever since.
I respect that. LT's unreal. That's where I'm at with the Bengals though. Bengals and Steelers. I gotta lean towards Steelers, but I gotta ask you this question. Le'Veon tweeted that he's leaving Miami. There's only one possible place that Le'Veon should probably be going.
He's in Pittsburgh.
It's also Le'Veon. He's in Pittsburgh.
He's working out at a local gym. That's what I read today.
One, do you think is ever going to come back this season? And two, if that's a yes, what do you think that does to the dynamics of this offense? Because James Conner's been killing it. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but you just watch him. He makes something out of nothing every single play. And if he's getting hit, he's falling forward frequently. And, I mean, if you James Conner, he's just been killing it. And it's like, it's really backfired on what Le'Veon's wanted to do, because he wanted to hold out and show, hey, I'm more valuable. Then James Conner comes in and is a stud and just keeps rolling, and it devalues what Le'Veon's argument was the entire time. So what do you do if Le'Veon comes back, and how do you utilize him?
That's such a tough question, because people love Conner and stuff like that, and I'm trying to find it on Twitter. I can't find it. I need to start favoring and liking these stuff so I can look at them later. But I saw a stat that he obviously has more yards and all that stuff, but he's also better after he has more yards after contact, and he gets you more yards because he's not dancing behind the backfield. He has some of that patience and shiftiness that all great backs have, and watching Bell for a year behind tape and stuff like that probably improve it. But he doesn't sit and dance like that, I don't know. I love watching Le'Veon Bell run, so it's tough for me to like say that the style he has is poor, especially with how successful he is. But Conner just hits the hole, knows he's just a solid running back, and he doesn't have he doesn't have the quote unquote baggage that people like to say Bell has. Do I think he comes back? Your guess is as good as mine. He has 1 week to sign his tender, or else he can't play this year. And then second, I'd implement him as like a slot receiver.
Exactly. That's the exact answer I wanted you to give me, because he's wanted to get paid as a running back and a receiver. That's why he didn't sign it. All right, prove it to me. Play receiver. Show me what you got.
I mean, do you really think Vance McDonald? I mean, Vance McDonald's a solid tight end, but him and Jesse James, would you rather have? You can line Le'Veon in an H back. You're not gonna. I mean, he's a great pass blocker. Both of them are great pass blockers, but it's all about just having different elements to an offense and using them in the slot. Two backs with Big Ben back there. And then you have James Washington, or you can still have Vance McDonald back there, because Juju and Antonio Brown are going to get open against most cornerbacks, no matter what coverage you go out there. And if you pay a lot of attention to them, you can dunk it off to Conner or Bell. So I mean, we saw there's nothing wrong with having two running backs. The Browns finally used Duke Johnson last week, and he had like six catches in the first half and a touchdown, and we saw that. So they used Chubb and Duke so effectively. Different style running backs compared to Pittsburgh, but look at all of the great offenses in the NFL have two solid running backs, minus the Chiefs. The Rams have Malcolm Brown and John Kelly from Tennessee, who doesn't really play, but Malcolm Brown had a phenomenal toe-tapping touchdown along the sidelines. Chiefs have Kareem Hunt, and I just want to say one thing about the Chiefs. I actually got into an argument with my Chiefs best friend, Anthony. Shout out, Tony. And I was talking to him about how it was after Carlos Hyde had a couple touchdown game. I'm like, I think Carlos Hyde is a great running back. He had great, solid numbers in San Francisco behind terrible O-lines and terrible offenses. And I was like, I think he's more productive than Kareem Hunt. He's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, look at Kareem Hunt this year. He's not being involved in the pass game. He's just getting a couple of touchdowns. He's touchdown reliant. But now we are finally seeing the Chiefs use Kareem Hunt. And he is the key to that offense. Tyreek Hill can stretch the field. Kelsey's going to do his thing in the middle. But if you get Kareem Hunt in open field, which they're finally starting to do, this offense goes to a crazy level. But that's a little side note. But, yeah, you use Bell as a receiver. And even if you don't play Bell a lot, it's a nice luxury to have in case James Conner does get hurt. But it's up to Bell. The ball has been in Bell's corner for 15 weeks. After he knew the Steelers were going to franchise tag him, he doesn't want to get tagged. All right, do you want to come to work? Let's go to work. And there's no way people that have been that. Yes, Connor's getting a nice rapport with them, and like he's proving his worth. But do you think guys like AB and those defensive guys are not going to want Le'Veon back? That Pittsburgh group is a tight knit group. Why would you not want Le'Veon Bell, who, in my eyes, is still a superior back to James Conner? You could throw stats at me all you want. You could throw the after contact, all that. I watched for years Le'Veon Bell be the anchor of this offense and the point total be there because of Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. They're not called the killer bees for nothing. So I would implement him right away as a receiver. He knows the playbook. He's probably in great shape like he always is. Let him get 10 to 15 touches, you get Connor. You keep them both fresh. You get Bell 10 to 15 touches. You get Connor 15 to 20. And then you ride the hot hand to end the game. Because Big Ben's not going to carry you to the promised land. That's for sure.
Amen. Amen. So, Big Ben will not get it done for you. The Steelers got a shot if they can use Big Ben how Peyton Manning was used in his last year in Denver.
Minus that great defense, though.
Well, yeah. I mean, offensively
speaking.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So,
because this offense has more weapons than that Peyton Manning team, that Peyton Manning Broncos team had. Peyton Manning was just he's just a good facilitator, and that's all Big Ben needs to be. And he can be that if Le'Veon comes in and opens up avenues for AB, opens up avenues for Juju and James Conner, based off the fact that he's just on the field.
Absolutely. So, about halfway through the pod. We're still on the AFC. I mean, I feel like the NFC is just a lot of chalk. Because it's Rams, Saints, Bears, NFC East. Yeah, so that's a lot of chalk. So, this one will probably take up a good amount of time. And we're probably not going to have a lot of time to talk about the NFC. But, that's okay. Because the division we probably have spent more time talking than anything is the AFC South. And I'm as confused as ever. The Texans somehow won 19-17, entered their bye on a 6-game winning streak, and they won in Denver. Because Denver just completely mismanaged that game. The Titans finally used Mariota in the way we've been asking. And you should look at that box score real quick. Look how many touches Deion Lewis had.
Oh, I know, right?
Finally. It's like you have the running back who's been the best running back for the Patriots for like 3 years, and you're no, we like this Derrick Henry guy. We don't like this. But the when I got home from that game and it was 14-7 Tennessee, and I the first thing I noticed, Mariota doesn't have the glove anymore, and he had zip on his ball. He was running it. They ran that beautiful read shovel option where he held the ball for the last sec and then pitch it to Jonju Smith, I think his name is. That's the Tennessee offense I want to see, and why I pick them to make the playoffs. That's a scary team with Mariota's healthy, because that defense, you know, that you know who's the number one defense in the NFL? Tennessee Titans. Baldy?
Yes.
He was talking about it. He said this is the number one defense in the NFL. Then you go down. We love the Colts. Come out of their bye week, their schedule, we absolutely love their Colts. And this is a and they are entering a do or die game when Jacksonville comes to town. Because
slight interjection.
Go ahead.
Dion had a total of 23 touches, 19 carries, 4 catches, 19 carries for 62 yards, long of 13. So he was just getting consistent chunks. But he had 4 catches for 60 yards and a touchdown with a long of 37. So getting a total of 23 carries for 102 and a touchdown. That's the recipe for success for this offense.
Yes.
Because if you got Dion in, then that to me screams that you're being not run heavy with Derrick Henry and go in I formation with Mariota, which is where he is not at his best.
Absolutely. It's all about keeping a defense.
And let him do what he did best at Oregon. Sit in the shotgun, run some option, and confuse the defense and make his throws not necessarily simpler, but he's just such a threat with his legs. So utilize it.
I mean,
that's all I got.
I mean, we could talk about Tennessee. We could find a full podcast about Tennessee from that Dallas game. And Jacksonville has Leonard Fournette back practicing. If Fournette is back in the ball and they're running the ball, that they win the time of possession battle. Their defense is I can't write off any team in this division. Like, I was out on Jacksonville, but I wouldn't shock me if Fournette comes back, gets 25 carries for 110 yards and 2 touchdowns, and they win 20-17 over Indianapolis. Like, because they're both, it's just all these things can happen. Houston, I think Houston's the worst team in this division. But they're at 6-3 and have a 2-game lead, a game and a half lead. And Tennessee plays New England, so they're going to have a 2-game lead, most likely. But I'm not sold on them, and their schedule is easy. So they look like overwhelming favorites to win this division, and it's really confusing. Because they're my least favorite team to watch.
They just keep finding ways to win, but it's not necessarily. It doesn't seem like it's sustainable football. Because their O line is suspect at best. Lamar Miller got a couple games going, but it hasn't been as consistent as they would like. Obviously, training for Demaryius Thomas is going to help out with the Will Fuller injury. But that defense hasn't been as dominant as I would like it to be. I would like the J.J. Watt, Jadeveon Clowney combo to be more lethal, I guess you could say.
J.J. Watt's doing really well. He's having a little comeback season, though. But I understand what you mean.
In terms of just taking that defense to the next level, I really like the Titans. But I think they might have the toughest schedule out of everyone left, which is why I don't know if I can pick them to be on top of this division. Not that we're by any means making predictions at this point. But I don't know this, like you said, this division's interesting because the best quarterback is Andrew Luck in the Colts.
Yes, then Mariota, in my opinion.
Yes. Best playmaker in the in the conference or in the division is DeAndre Hopkins. The best team defense is are the Titans, but the most talented defense with perhaps the most sustainable with the potential with the most sustainable run game are the Jags. So everyone has their strengths and has a case to be made, but everyone also has a down point. Colts defense is leaky. Texans O-line is uninspiring. Titans offense sputters too frequently. And the Jags have Blake Bortles. So when at that point, I see it as you just kind of have to take the best schedule. And at that, at this point, that looks like, especially with a 3-game lead on the on the Colts, who I think would have the best chance. I think them and the Titans would have the best chance of making a significant. I can't really count out the Jags though, because that defense is definitely going to get turned around. I changed it to maybe earlier in the pod, about 20 minutes ago, to definitely.
You think the Texans have an easy schedule? I see that at Washington game as, yes, their defense is going to go crazy. But you think that they're that O-line can block the Redskins' front seven in Washington? That's one. Hopefully, Deshaun can make it healthy out of that. Host Tennessee, who matches up pretty well with them. Cleveland, that D-line is what I'm talking about. That D-line can help. That can dominate a game. Indianapolis, you never know. At Jets, can Deshaun, for all we know, it could be 25 degrees in a snowstorm up there in New York. And then after that, at Philly, once again, I don't see them winning Deshaun Watson winning a cold weather game in Philadelphia, especially with Philly potentially fighting for that playoff spot. And then host Jacksonville. That's like, I see one guarantee victory on that, and that's the at Jets. And I'm not even like, this is the thing, like the schedules are so, they're all so bunched up, because Tennessee goes New England at Indy at Houston, Jets, Jags at Giants, Redskins, Colts.
And that's what I'm saying, that the 3-game lead that they have on the Jags and the Colts and the potential 2-game lead that they could have, or the 2-game lead they have on the Titans now, and if there's somehow some way they can pull it off against the Skins and make that 3-game lead, I just don't know if any, I don't know if the Colts, Jags, or Titans can overcome that. Because I think the Texans will figure out a way, because they're just on a roll. And I don't think they're going to lose. DeAndre Hopkins always gives you a chance. I hate to say it, but he does. DeAndre Hopkins and then Demaryius Thomas, that's just going to keep getting better. All they need is Lamar Miller to just keep this. They just need Lamar Miller to keep this offense on schedule and not get into second and longs and third and longs.
I don't want to hop back on my Jags bandwagon, but I'm looking at their schedule.
It's manageable. It's extremely, extremely manageable.
At Indy with Fournette back, I'm telling you, that's going to be a thing. Host Pittsburgh, they match up great with Pittsburgh. At Buffalo, the battle of the worst quarterbacks ever, but it's Buffalo. Host Indy, at Tennessee. Host Tennessee always bothers them. Host Washington, at Miami, at Houston. I don't know. I could see them getting to 9-7, which could get the division, but like you said, the Texans would only have to win 3 games at that. So, I don't know. But
That's why I lean towards picking the Texans right now. If all these teams were 5-4 or 4-5, I see this division completely different. But the Texans are spotted at least 2 games with the Titans, potentially 3 with New England coming to town, and if they can beat Washington.
Okay.
That's just too big of a gap for me to see these teams. Because I'm with you. I don't think the Texans' O-line can block any of the D-lines that you said. Cleveland, Washington. Like, I don't think it can happen. But with a 3-game lead to go into the second half of this season, it's hard for me not to pick DeAndre Hopkins because no one can guard. Like, he will keep your offense rolling at a minimum. And Deshaun Watson, he's not my favorite quarterback, but he's still definitely better than the other quarterback in Texas and Tejas and Dak Prescott. He's still a playmaker. He's mobile with his feet, can still throw the deep ball. DeAndre Hopkins has the most ridiculous catch radius ever. And Demaryius Thomas, I think, is finally... Demaryius Thomas has needed to get out of Denver since Peyton Manning retired.
Yeah. All right. So we think Texans quickly because...
That's me.
Yeah, I mean, it's just what... I mean, it's just like...
It's hard to argue mm-hmm. with just three-game spot.
Okay.
That's all it is for
so
me.
So, we're 41 minutes in. We have about 18 minutes left. We have not even discussed the NFC. But...
All right, let's jump in.
We have to figure out the second wild card spot real quick. Do we think it's Cincy, Miami, Baltimore, Tennessee, Jacksonville, Indy? So, do we think it's going to come from AFC North, one of the three AFC South teams, or do we think the Dolphins can hold on? Dolphins schedule real quick, at Packers, at Indy, Buffalo, New England, at Minnesota, Jacksonville, at Bills. I don't see them winning. I think they win the Bills games, and that's it. So I don't see them getting it. So I think Cincinnati's going to do it. I think they hold on. And them or Tennessee's going to hold on, I think.
That's exactly that. I was going to say I pick Cincinnati, especially if they can get AJ Green back with the last couple, like week 15, 16, 17. You know, if he can play the last three, four games, that'd be ideal. And if you get him back and that offense has kept you afloat, he's just going to come and spark that offense. It's going to be nuts.
Yeah. All right.
But that's a lot on Andy Dalton. Mm-hmm.
So that's who we have for that. NFC. Two clear favorites. There's three teams we consider locks for the playoffs. The Rams, Saints, and Panthers. Those are, I consider, locks. Saints beat the Rams 45-35 in a phenomenal game. We expected it to be a shootout. We thought the Saints would win. They did win. And they kind of took their foot off the gas in the second half. I feel like teams do that, like the Panthers did too, to let the Bucs creep in when they were up 42-14 and became 42-28. Or they were at 42-7 or something like that. Or 35-7. I think they do that because they don't want to show plays. And then it's like, all right, we're gonna go to simple plays, and then they start opening up. Then they get a touchdown when they need it. So those are the three clear favorites. You feel phenomenal about your Saints pick. I'm loving life here on the Carolina Panthers Island. I have another that's a tough game in Pittsburgh. If they pull this off, I think they're a Super Bowl contenders right now. If they pull that off, you have to literally sit and say, okay, this team's coming. But
oh yeah,
we talk about
Panthers.
Go ahead.
For what it's worth, Panthers are the only team in the NFC that make me even somewhat question the Saints making and winning the Super Bowl.
Hey. So, well, do you really want to talk about this? I mean, there's not Michael Thomas. We had a conversation last week about him being a top five receiver, and he goes out there and puts up double-digit catches, 212 yards, and a touchdown. Shout out to Joe Horn. It's awesome when you discuss something we discuss on a pod, and literally comes to life the next day. So there's still two division races that are up for grabs. I mean, the East is up, the South is up for grabs, but we've dissected that so much that we're not going to waste the short amount of time we have here.
Y'all know where we stand on the NFC.
Yes, South. And we've talked about the NFC North a lot. I'm hereby ending my Detroit Lions love. I love their uniforms, and I love their weapons, and I love Kerryon Johnson. But
they also just cut my boy Amir Abdullah, who ended up getting picked up by the Vikings, so
that's.
I hope my boy Amir can.
That's weird.
See what he can do. I know. I thought it was weird too. I didn't think he'd get picked up by the Vikings of all teams.
They have Dalvin and Latavius Murray. All right, whatever. That's just weird though. So
bye bye Latavius. Just Amir, Dalvin. I don't know.
Latavius looks good though. He's just humbled. All right, Bears. They're up. They're what are they? They're 5-3. Their schedule is not hard at all.
Nope.
Lions, Vikings, Lions, Giants, Rams, Packers, Niners, Vikings. I can see them splitting the Lions, losing to the Vikings twice. I could see that. I could see them. But that D-line is going to get after the Vikings. So it's like.
Yeah, you preach D-line against poor O-lines, and that's practically yes. Vikings versus Bears. Yes.
Same with the Giants. So this team will probably get to not 10 wins.
I really wish I would have picked them as my preseason favorite. I really wish I would have followed my heart and followed my brain. Mm-hmm. So I was right. Yeah.
So they're going to get to 10 wins. Minnesota. Sitting in the second playoff spot. They're at 5-3-1. They go at Chicago, then the Packers. At New England, at Seattle, Dolphins. That at Seattle game is a Monday night game. Dolphins at Lions, Bears.
I could see 8-9 wins. Packers, 3-4-1. Dolphins can see that win.
At Seattle on a short week, I'd give the way I'm watching Rodgers play, I could see that. At Minnesota on a long week, I don't know. That's 5 wins. Cardinals, 6. Falcons at home, 7. At Chicago, he torments Chicago no matter what. So I'm taking Rodgers, 8. At Jets, 9. Lions, 10. What I'm saying is they can make a move right now. Do I think they will? I'm not sure because they have bad injury luck and they always seem to find ways to lose games with fumbling. Because they were up, they were 17, I don't know if you watched the game, they were 17-17. They were driving in New England territory and Aaron Jones fumbles. It was just frustrating. But what I'm saying is I'm still picking the Packers to win this division. I'm not off the Packers at all. I think this team will get this division. We'll talk about that in a second. I absolutely think I think the Packers pulled off. This is Rodgers. This is when Rodgers gets hot and makes his move and gets in the playoffs.
That's what I was just about to say. Because the last 2 weeks, Aaron Rodgers got robbed by Tymont 2 weeks ago against the Saints. Or against the Rams, mm-hmm. excuse me. And then last week, watching that game against the Patriots, it wasn't all that we thought it was going to be. It was built up too much to be goat versus goat. And I don't know if you saw the goats going goat versus goat on the NBC Sportscast.
Yeah.
I didn't know how. I still don't know how to feel about that, but it is what it is. But the look in Aaron Rodgers' face against the Rams when he didn't get the opportunity, he was just livid. And then last week when he was just trying to do anything that he could and couldn't get anything going, like Davante Adams was getting bracketed coverage all the time and no one else was getting open.
That's what smart coaches do, though.
Exactly. But not every team has Bill Belichick being smart for them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm with you. I think Aaron Rodgers is sick and tired of this stuff. I think he's going to do exactly what you say, and he's going to finally pop off. Because I thought it was going to be against the Rams, and then I thought it was going to be against the Patriots. I'm not about to quit on Aaron Rodgers. It's just he's going to light it up against the Dolphins. I actually just went – what I was doing on my phone just now, I was going to go pick up Marquez Valdes-Scantling and play him as my third receiver, but I forgot to do waivers this week. And he is now on the team that I'm playing against. Because I saw a stat that the Dolphins give up the most 20-plus yard throws in the NFL.
They do.
Valdes-Scantling runs a high 4.3, 40. And he has Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball to him.
Are you taking them? Are you taking him over... He went to USF too, by the way. Are you taking them over the Bears and the Vikings? You love the Bears. They go Lions, Vikings, Lions, Giants, Rams, Packers, 49ers, Vikings.
No, I'm sticking to my guns that I wish I would have stuck to in the preseason. I'm taking Bears. And then I'm taking... I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be great, but I don't think he can get this team to the playoffs. Mm. I don't think this Packers roster is good enough. I think he's going to have an incredible quarterback performance, but he might even still end up losing the games. So I'm going to take Bears on top because of that. In my mind, it comes down to Bears-Vikings. And the difference is the Vikings don't have a strong enough O-line to stop this Bears D-line. I think the Packers are going to keep it interesting with the Bears because Aaron Rodgers does all the time. But I just don't think that – I think this Bears defense is going to carry them through, especially when it starts getting cold. It's already starting to get cold. And when weather is going to start playing more and more into effect, that's when you even lean harder on your defense and harder on your run game. The two-headed monster of Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen is – in my mind, it's like a poor man's Mark Ingram, Alvin Kamara.
They're effective. They are effective. Just a quick little interjection.
Yeah, please.
I'm looking at the odds right now. Vikings are the odds-on favorite to win the division. They're plus 110. Bears are plus 155. Green Bay's plus 500.
Wow.
I thought it'd be higher. But I'm just going down with the ship. The defense is actually stepping it up. I don't know what their injury situation is going to hold up, but I mean, they're facing the Brock Osweiler this week. And then I think the Seattle game is everything. I don't think he's going to lose to Kirk Cousins in that dome. He's not going to lose to Arizona. I don't think Atlanta's coming up there and beating them. And he torments Chicago for fun. I'm going with the Packers.
Wow.
I'm doing it. I think the Bears get the second wild card spot. Because the other three divisions are... I mean, the NFC East, we'll talk about in a second, but unless the Falcons can continue their run.
Falcons are too depleted on defense. It ain't happening.
At Cleveland, host Dallas, at New Orleans, Baltimore, that's tough. Never mind. Yeah.
The Ravens, Packers, Cardinals, Panthers, Bucks is too many good offenses in the last five games for them to get that.
Including Saints. That's tough. Okay. So we have 5 minutes, 5+ minutes. The final division is the NFC least. So.
Which.
I think we have a default winner. And I think our preseason prediction of the Eagles is going to come true. Because the Redskins lost Paul Richardson. They lost Brandon Schreff. What we loved about them was their O-line, their linemen on both sides. So their D-line's intact. Well, they just lost Brandon Schreff. They lose Sean Lauvau. Hope I pronounced that right. So they lose their guards. Trent Williams in and out of the lineup right now. He's hurt.
Yeah, I just pulled up the injury report, and offensively, they're missing, obviously, Jamison Crowder. Morgan Moses, one of their tackles, did not participate. AP was limited. Jordan Reed was limited. Chris Thompson did not participate, and Trent Williams did also not participate. So we're looking at a plethora of injuries along the offense for the Redskins, and most importantly, noted are their two tackles, Trent Williams and Morgan Moses, which if you lose in both of your bookend tackles, that's just going to be rough from the get-go. And also, not having Chris Thompson is also limiting this offense and where it can go. And that's what we love about this offense, is that it has the ability to be a 1-2 punch with AP and Chris Thompson. It can try to milk a little bit of clock because they're not a very explosive offense, but they're a very methodical offense. And that defense is going to limit the score and keep it low. That's the ideal Redskins philosophy for this year. it's not sustainable if you don't have your offensive line intact.
Yeah, it was rough. That was just a rough Sunday for them because we thought they'd win that game in general.
Yeah, when I saw that Trent Williams was going to be out, I was just like, that sucks because that's it. Like, if they can't run the ball, if they can't establish a line of scrimmage, the Redskins aren't, like, lethal enough or don't have Aaron Rodgers throwing for them to be able to make up that ground.
Their only hope is that because I don't think the Cowboys are going to pull it off. Because the Eagles have I don't think they have a tough schedule, but they have not been really impressive.
Eagles play to finish out the season. They play the Cowboys this week. Then they play at the Saints, home against the Giants, home against the Redskins, at the Cowboys, at the Rams, home against the Texans, and finish at the Redskins.
We'll see what the impact Golden Tate makes, A. And B, the thing I think is big is Timmy Jernigan's back. He's practicing.
That is huge for that D-line because that's what's been missing for this entire defense is D-line.
He provides so much impact in that inside. I mean, yeah, inside of the thing. Sorry, I'm losing my train of thought. Lakers. It's Lakers and Timberwolves in the middle of a crazy game. And, it's just really – Tim Jernigan's the best football player I've ever seen with my own two eyes up close in person in practice every day. Like he had to stop getting Jimbo had to stop him from practicing sometimes so the offense could run some plays. And you add him with Fletcher Cox and Derek Barnett, who I think pretty sure is healthy again. Michael Bennett, this is what they envision. The Eagles were not going to duplicate last year's success. In terms of that 13-3 record, they beat the brakes off of everyone. That was wishful thinking. What you wanted is Wentz healthy, the defense healthy, and the O-line intact moving forward. And then you add in Golden Tate. I think the Eagles are going to go on a run here. And I would not want to see them in the first two rounds of the playoffs. I would be petrified. To see this Eagles team in this situation in the playoffs.
Every NFC team has to be hoping that the Eagles don't make the playoffs. Every single one. This is not going to happen.
They're going to win this division, and they're going to be the three seed. And if you're the two seed, that makes that second seed so important. That means the Saints or Panthers have to. The Rams have to try to win out. Because if you're sitting there at the two seed and you want Philly at Los Angeles, guess what? It's not going to be a home court advantage in L.A. if Philly's coming to town. There's so many Philly transplants out there. There's so many Philly fans who would take that trip to get out of the cold weather and to go to the warm weather of L.A. and watch what the Eagles can do. That is not ideal for the Rams. Saints, a little more different because that dome. And the Panthers are the Panthers. They're just... You never know what to expect from Carolina. You do not want them. Philly, there's four teams that can go to the Super Bowl in my eyes. The Chargers, the Los Angeles Rams, the Saints, the Panthers, and the Eagles. And honestly, I'd probably pick any four of those teams to beat any of the top AFC contenders, even though the AFC is better, has more playoff contenders in terms of filling out their picture.
I gotta agree, because I don't think this is Tom Brady's year.
Closing thoughts. 30 seconds. Sorry.
We've seen what the Chiefs. I've expressed what I saw about the Chiefs and how I think they might have the potential of falling off. The Chargers aren't seasoned vets in terms of postseason. They're a very, very young team with a very old leader in Phillip Rivers. But Phillip Rivers, what has he done in the playoffs? And I'm with you. I like my Saints. Panthers are scary. Bears are...
Have the defense,
which in postseason wins you games. And
Rams have the schematics and the offensive talent and the defensive talent, but I think their defense... That defense is not going to be judged until we see what's with Tlaib. But we both agreed this. I think there's certain world champions coming out of the NFC. So... That's going to do it. Noah, thanks for hopping on once again.
thanks for having me on. It was late pod, nice late pod, but
everyone,
another great pod.
Thank you for tuning in on the Radio St. Pete Network, and have a good weekend.